Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Tellius Tyler.
I'm not ready to go. What about Will? You got to introduce him first.
Yes, about that. Will is dead. No, I'm kidding. Don't worry, he's got 7 more lives. Or was it 6? There was that anime con thing. No. Will is unable to be here. There is a massive snowstorm happening over on the East Coast, and the driver that apparently takes him to his home area was unable to get to him in time. And all I can think of is, Will has a driver?
Yeah. He is just looking down at middle class
simple folk
podcasters.
Yes. See, now, in contrast, though, if he owed me $20, it wouldn't have taken him this long to pay it back, Tyler.
True.
Right. Yeah. In all seriousness, Will, like many other people on the East Coast, are being affected by the snowstorm. So, and all of our other co-hosts are currently unavailable. So it's just going to be a two-man show tonight, which is actually fine because we also have a lot of stuff to talk about. It'll be good to have nice little one-on-one debates on everything because I don't know why, but a lot of news has come out, especially like in the last few days. It's really weird, but whatever. But we're going to get started off with, what have you been playing? Not much. I mean, I'm in this weird place where I got done with The World Ends With You and actually did play that because there's the Another Day, which is a lovely little fourth wall breaking side story. And so I played that for a while, but it doesn't take long to beat. And then I was playing Heroes, obviously, because we got the Tempest Trials. I am up to 270 orbs.
And, oh, wow.
I'm waiting because on 11/20, there is a brand new hero banner. Like, it's supposed to be brand new heroes, not this sidestepping we keep getting, like, with the Makoto banner.
Yeah.
And so I am saving up so I can get, hopefully, as many of these new units as possible. So, naturally, I've been playing the Tempest Trials. Although, I will say this. They put Ryoma in a banner, one of them, like, you know, skill banners, and I got him on my free summon.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. He's one of the few original characters, like, from when the game launched, that I still don't have.
Yeah, I don't have... I've been wanting Ryoma for so long. I mean, don't get me wrong. I got his, like, flying one.
Yeah, you know, legendary Ryoma.
Yeah, I got him, but I don't want the original Ryoma, and I finally got him. I mean, dear gosh, I've been waiting for so long. So, but it was just great. I was like, I'm going to get Ryoma. Ding, there's Ryoma. I'm like, why can't it always be that easy? Why? Yeah, but then in contrast, I tried to get Saber off of the other banner, and I got someone insignificant, probably. It was,
yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
I remember now. I didn't even get a red.
Like, oh, that's the worst.
Oh, yeah, like the other ones were like Katria. No, not Katria. It was Shauna. Shauna and Bartray, who I can't stand. And it's just like, I didn't even have a chance to get Saber.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because they got just new refines. I haven't seen what their refines are, but apparently Odin's refine from like the most recent update before this one made him like really, really good. Like he was the worst character in the game by far.
Worse than Riss?
Yeah, he was really, really bad. I mean, he had like no attack, but I think I forget what they even did to him, but I was reading that he's now one of the strongest blue mages in the game, which is crazy. But I like the fact that they're keeping those old school first generation units relevant because, you know, naturally power creep has become a thing with every new unit basically just being slightly better version of this character. So yeah, the refines have been helpful for sure. And Saber's refine is the Golden Dagger, which Celica gives him in the beginning of Echoes, which is a really cool touch.
Yeah. See, you might know this. Did we ever find out why Saber was so infatuated with that dagger?
I think he just knew that it was worth a ton of money. And he didn't know that Celica was the royal at that point, but he was like, why is she carrying this? This is worth way more than, you know, what it would cost to hire me. So.
Okay. Because I always remember that sequence, because Saber was one of my favorites in the game, and because he's just so cool. And then he's like, oh, yeah, this girl doesn't realize this value of this dagger. I'm like, oh, is there, like, some secret origin to the dagger? You never know in Fire Emblem.
No, it's true. Well, the dagger does refine into the beloved Zofia, which is a weapon only Celica can use. But I don't think Saber knows that. And really, that's not a big deal made about it. Like, you don't even have to do that. But you can forge it into the beloved Zofia.
So I'm actually in, and now I'm in this weird place to where tomorrow, at the time of this recording, Pokemon Let's Go comes out, and I'm hearing actually really good reviews on it, like reviews that might even sway you, Tyler.
No, they have swayed me. They are swaying me. It's gotten really good reviews.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like an 80 on Metacritic. I didn't expect that. That's
Yeah.
really, that's good.
IGN gave it an 80, like an 8.3.
Yeah.
So, and they
No,
said like,
I'm interested in
yeah.
it for sure. I am really, really poor, so I don't have any money. But if I did have money, I would actually pick it up this weekend because I did pre-order it. As it stands, I don't have the money to pick it up, but I will be picking it up when I do because it looks good, and at the very least, it's worth a play. Like I was kind of expecting it to be like really awful, like off so bad that you're just like, this isn't even worth me checking out. But as it stands, it is.
Yeah, and then I hear that, it's not only a 40-hour story, but it also has like really after-game content. So that's it. That I find that curious. And then apparently Eevee and Pikachu are like incredibly powerful.
Oh, I'm sure that they are. I mean,
Yep.
they just to make them, stay relevant as the game goes on. Especially Eevee. It's so hard to imagine Eevee being good because it's Eevee. It's just its job is to evolve, but
Yeah, pretty
you
much.
can't evolve this one.
No, you can't. And then, but then, like in contrast, they give you a apparently they give you an ability for every one of their its evolutions that it could have. So like you'll get like a water attack, a fire attack, a fairy attack, and all of them. So it makes it a much more balanced character,
Yeah.
which I appreciate because I've always liked Eevee.
Yeah, Eevee is a really cool mon. It's adorable.
Yeah, very adorable.
Yeah, that's the version I'll get is Let's Go Eevee.
Agreed. Same here. I mean. Pikachu's so passe. I
Right. And
mean,
Pikachu, it looks ridiculous in Smash. So Pikachu's gonna have his moment, its moment in a couple weeks. Let Eevee have 21 days of spotlight before
pretty much.
Pikachu starts wrecking everybody in
See,
Smash.
and that's my other thing is like, do I get this game and let it tide me over until Smash Brothers? And given that I've actually gotten, a little bit of a surge in money, I'm seriously leaning to yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've also gotta do like more writing, so I'm trying to be, a balanced life, but we'll see how it goes.
Right.
Right, how about you, Tyler? What have you been playing?
I've continued to play Fire Emblem Echoes. I'm in chapter 4 now. I just started that, so that's when you invade Regale. Still, it's I've said so much about this game, and I really don't have anything meaningful to add besides the fact that I love it. But I've actually gone back, and I was cleaning out my room and bringing out all of my winter clothes and putting away all my summer clothes. And
Smart.
I thought, wait, I have all of my old systems in here. I'm going to go bring them into our living room, and we got a nice new display case recently, so I put all my old Nintendo systems in there. And when you see all these systems sitting out, you suddenly feel the urge to play them all.
Yeah.
So I have also been playing some Super Nintendo, actually. Yesterday I was playing Donkey Kong Country 2, definitely in my top three platformers of all time. It's one game like I meant to play for like 15 minutes and then just put down and be done. But like once I start that game, I have to 102% it. So I went through and played the whole game. Yeah, it was a ton of fun. The origin of Dixie Kong, which makes me just wish again, Dixie Kong should be in Smash Bros. She
Never
should.
know.
I really hope that she's one of the DLC characters. And now I'm playing Donkey Kong Country 3 to follow that up. So a little old school mood for me right now. I also want to play Super Metroid. I got that for Christmas last year and I never played it. And like Metroid games just aren't for me. Like I've accepted that I don't like Metroid games. And yet
Happens.
it's Super Metroid. Like I need to beat that game at some point in my life. So I'm going to do it and maybe I'll like it and that'll make me like all the other Metroid games. But even the one that came out on 3DS, Samus Returns, I got and I liked. I thought it was fun. But I never beat it and I never wanted to go back to it. I was just like, all right, I'm done with this game.
I attempted to beat it, and I even used the IGN walkthrough to make sure, because that's the thing. Like, I love Metroid games, but they can be so difficult to understand what the heck is going on. Like, okay, I have this power up. Now what do I do with it? So I understand your feelings on this. So don't feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of my biggest weaknesses as a Nintendo fan is that Metroid is I just don't like it. Like I like pretty much every main Nintendo franchise except for when I look at the pre-release for Smash Bros. Stuff and I see everybody saying that Samus is bad. I'm like, ha, Sakurai hates Metroid too.
But yeah. No, I understand it, and I'm glad you, I totally understand your retro fix, because there was a time where when I was living at my parents' house, I had my N64 complete with controllers in like a side cupboard of my thing, and I would just look at it every single day because it was just there. And then one day I was just like, I had no new games to play. I think this was, yeah, this was during the Wii U era, I think, and I was just like, maybe I should just play my N64. So I busted it out. I played the original Paper Mario, which was so good, and I think I played Ocarina of Time, one of those two. And you know, I just got my kick, and I was like, yeah, this was good times. Because
The
my the N64.
original Paper Mario, I go back to play that once or
Oh
twice a year.
no,
It's so much fun.
well, just, I used to do the same thing with the GameCube and Fire Emblem Path of Radiance and Thousand Year Door. Because I love those games so much. And in fact, there was a poll recently. It's like if they said if you they could bring like one of the GameCube games from the you know to the Nintendo Switch Online, what would you want? And I go Path of Radiance and Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, I might agree with those
So
same two picks.
we'll have to see. Apparently, there's things going on, but we'll just see how it goes. Yeah, but if you guys are going to be playing a Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu or Eevee, do let us know what you are enjoying about the games. Tweeted us at NEP Podcast. There you go. So how about you, Will? Oh wait, Will's not here. So since Will's not here, we are going to be doing a very, very, very long news segment. I know this may seem boring, but I promise you we got some fun topics, because I don't know why everything seemed to have happened in the last week without there being a Nintendo Direct, which we are all expecting eventually. But we'll just deal with this one topic at a time. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, now, ironically, I was actually hoping that Will would be here for this one, because it involves me and one of his and my favorite developers out there in Platinum Games. So, apparently, there is a rumor going around that has been, quote unquote, leaked by an industry person who is very good with rumors and such. And they claim that Platinum Games right now is working on two unnamed Switch titles. Now, to be clear, this is not Bayonetta 3, because Bayonetta has already been confirmed, or Bayonetta 3 has already been confirmed for the Switch, possibly coming out next year. But according to the source, they go, Platinum Games has two more games for Switch besides Bayonetta 3. Hideki Kamiya is credited in all three, both Bayonetta 3 and a second game targeting 2019. So naturally, this sparks a lot of speculation. Are they making a new IP? Are they making Wonderful 102?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Wonderful 101 and 102, like Bayonetta 1 and 2 released on Switch.
But I would only
Or
I
Wii
think
U, I
if they
mean.
did do that, they would do it like they did with Bayonetta 2 and just bundle the original with the sequel,
Yes,
and
yeah.
then that's still only one game. This seems like two totally separate projects.
Yeah, I would count that as two different projects. I mean, I guess it's up to interpretation what that would mean. But if they released Wonderful 102, if they made that, I would expect Wonderful 101 would also be there, because we've heard rumors about that being made for a long
Agreed.
time now. Remember, oh, it
Agreed.
goes back to like when we first started this podcast 2 years ago. They had the video of Platinum's offices, and they were playing Wonderful 101, and there was a Switch next to it, or something. There was some
Yeah,
teaser that people really
they
thought
had
meant.
the Wonderful 101 characters playing a Switch.
Right. So that's been a thing for a while, and I don't know how well that game did on Wii U. I don't think it did well at
It
all,
was not it did
but
not do well. Bayonetta ironically did better, although it's the Wii U, so it's kind of hard to gauge.
right. But
So
that game does have a rabid following, though.
it
Like
does.
most Platinum games, that did have an audience that adored it.
So that and that brings up another question, is that could they be bringing maybe one of their other titles to the Switch via port, like Nier Automata?
Yeah, that would be interesting as well. I mean, that's another game that people really, really love.
And I think graphically, it's definitely something that would be
It would
fine on
work.
the Switch,
Yeah.
because between Bayonetta, Xenoblade, Breath of the Wild, that's that graphical style was not impossible, and so maybe they're going to port it. I don't know.
It looks like it'll work for sure. I mean, I would hope that they would have some new projects in the pipeline as well, but
Well, that we know that they like Nintendo, and like they've openly said we love working with Nintendo, especially after they helped save the Bayonetta franchise. So, if they really are working on three new projects, and even if one of them is Wonderful 102, I have no doubts that they're going to go all out for whatever that third title is. And there's rumors that Hideki Kamiya himself said that the next game that they were going to make, which could be for the Switch, is very indie style. So what do you think of indie games?
Tyler? What do I think of when I think of indie games?
This is a trick question, Tyler.
That they're not made by Platinum Games.
They're good. They sell well on Switch.
They sell well on Switch. Got it.
And
that's
true. I would think that, you know, now granted, Nier Automata and some of them, like, they're AAA titles, but I would say Wonderful 101 is definitely more indie than anything else. I mean, that's clearly not, like,
had a pretty big production value into it.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I'm excited for this. I hope it's true. And if they follow past examples, we might hear about it at the Game Awards.
Yeah,
that's when they revealed Bayonetta 3, or Reggie revealed Bayonetta 3, whatever. So, never know. All right, so now let's head to one of the more. Okay, they're all really fun topics, to be honest with you. But one of the funnest, which is apparently not a word, one of the funnest topics of the week. Nintendo has released the quote unquote live action super epic mega trailer for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. If you haven't seen it, what's wrong with you? For those of you who have seen it, you all know that they took the banner, that the Mega Everyone Is Here banner, and literally just started showing off, like, basically every character, although some of them actually don't appear, like King K. Rool and Cinnaroar.
King Rool is in it. He's in the background at one point.
But he's not, like, a focus like what they did with a lot of the other characters. But
Yeah.
It was a really, really cool trailer, and it shows just how insanely packed this roster is, and it gave us moments that we didn't really know we needed, like Pit fighting Ridley and Donkey Kong out punching Captain Falcon, you know, or and of course the princesses teaming up with each other, so you know there was that. But one of the things I really liked about this trailer was that it didn't have a background track, or it didn't have a significant background track. It was very base because they wanted to show the visuals and the visuals alone. But because we're all fans and we think we can do things better, and sometimes we do, people decide to insert certain songs into the background and just play them over the trailer. And this has gotten us some very, very interesting tracks, including what was it called? Ecstasy or something like that? Like it was like one of the kickoff ones. And then someone decided to put Simple and Clean from the Kingdom Hearts franchise, and that totally worked. And
my
then
favorite one is Queen.
Oh,
having a good time.
Oh, I
don't
didn't
stop
see that
me
one.
Now. Oh, you haven't seen Don't Stop Me Now? Yeah, that's the best one. It's perfect.
I don't know. The Kingdom Hearts one actually. That one. I wish that one was posted by Square Enix, because then you could have said Sora confirmed. Sora confirmed. But that's actually a perfect segue, because one of my favorites was when Funimation, you know, the people who distribute and show off Dragon Ball, they put the theme song to Dragon Ball GT over the trailer. Why would you do that? Because A, Dragon Ball GT is the most reviled of all the Dragon Ball anime. B, you're basically all but making us speculate, wait a minute, does this mean Goku's confirmed? And yes, I know that Funimation, it does not technically own Dragon Ball, but it doesn't stop me from speculating. No, seriously, I posted this on Facebook, and some people were asking me to get banned because I dared to ask this question.
I thought for a second that it was possible, but I don't again. First of all, that would make the internet melt down, but I don't know. I don't know. It would be really, really cool.
I mean, again, of all the characters that shouldn't be in the game but could be in the game, Goku makes sense because of the rule I've talked about how he's been on Nintendo platforms. He's been on numerous Nintendo platforms. He is a fighting game character. People have actually modded him into past Smash Brothers title, especially 4, because they think he would be such a great character. It would work. And Bandai Namco, who does own Dragon Ball,
that's what I think. That's the biggest strength,
yeah.
I think.
So
Bandai Namco's connection. Also, I mean, when Cloud got in, that really did open the floodgates to
or Bayonetta,
whoever you could imagine. Yeah, I just think Cloud in particular.
Yeah.
Changed the what you how you thought of okay a potential Smash Bros. Character. They
yeah.
And Bayonetta continued that, but you know I definitely I don't expect that tweet at least to be a hint that Goku is coming. I don't think Sakurai wants anybody to have any idea who these DLC characters are still. But back to the commercial, that was such a great ad, I felt. And honestly, part of me thinks that they left it silent on purpose, expecting people to edit music into it, because that was a sensation for at least 3 days on my feed. I kept seeing new songs that people were adding into that trailer, and it was a nice little way to continue to build up excitement for the game. It was really well done.
Yeah. So, and again, just all this has me saying is we need a video game in that graphical style. I mean, seriously, look at all the trailers they've done in that graphical style. Make a game like that. Come on.
And how about the fact that Inkling was the final character? Like, it ended with a 5-second shot of Inkling running and just doing some Inkling stuff, and then zooming in on the eye where the Smash Ball was.
Yeah.
That was really interesting to me.
Full circle.
Yeah, exactly. It right, the complete hype cycle that goes back to Inkling. But still, I mean, there's so many Nintendo characters. The fact that they chose Inkling really says something about how big Splatoon is.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, so let us know what you thought of the trailer and which one had the best background audio. All right, that might have to be our poll question. We'll have to see how night goes. All right, so going to something that makes all of us here at NEP happy: Fire Emblem Hero sales. Yay! No, seriously, like, this game just continues to break records, do incredibly insane things, and in October, just October, it made $17 million. Okay, I mean, and trust us when we say there wasn't exactly anything big going on in
October. There was nothing big going on. It's fascinating. Now, I wonder how much of it is the Japanese audience, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean,
they said that the majority is from Japan. Like, that is a continuous trend. But,
okay, yeah, because I've read a lot of negativity about the game on the fan site and the Reddit, and I kind of agree with their assessment. I mean, I enjoy the game still, and I play it pretty much every day, but I haven't wanted to put money into it in a long time, just because the content's not anything super special, you know? They haven't come up with any really cool new ideas, so the Aether Raids are something.
Yeah, something, exactly. They're something.
Yeah, I mean, they're good enough, I guess. But still, and really there was no new big banner either. They didn't even have a huge fan servicey banner. Oh, wait, did they? Was that the Loki banner?
Loki banner.
October. Yeah, that's why. I hate Loki so much.
I know.
Will's not here, so I feel comfortable saying that. That's the stupidest character design of all
they
time.
They literally said, okay, who's like one of the most popular Fire Emblem characters? Darja. Why is it Darja? I'll give you two reasons.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, okay, let's amplify that somehow. And that's how Loki got born.
Yes, and let's make sure that Loki, unlike Tharja, has absolutely no personality at all. And she has nothing interesting. Like, every single one of her lines in that Forging Bonds thing was, I only have eyes for you, Summoner. Summoner, I love you.
Yeah,
this
how
is
can
weird.
I repay,
like,
Summoner?
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable with this.
Yeah. So... yeah, I know, I'm with you, and so maybe that was one of the reasons. I mean, it is Japan, and we just lost all of our Japanese viewers now. But still, 17 million, and here's the funny part: they're actually saying that this is a down month.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. it's been crazy. I mean, they've given us monthly updates recently too.
Oh yeah, because it keeps doing well. I mean, according to the report, it may, so far Heroes has made $200 million in 2018 alone.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So that literally means, ladies and gentlemen, that by the end of October, it's making around $20 million a month. Literally. Emphatically.
I only hope that the lack of really meaningful new content in Heroes is because they're working so hard on Three Houses. Like, I love Heroes a lot, but I am ready to just be able to focus on Three Houses.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, and it may be that, you know, some of them are working on book three, which again comes out in December.
Yeah.
So maybe they're plotting some big things around that. Maybe, I don't know. But that, I mean, that Fate channel was so terrible.
It was really rough.
So
it, I mean, seriously, you could have summarized it in 30 seconds. I'm
pretty
still
much.
Not over that.
But you know, and here's the other, and like going back to the whole like this is a down month. Even they admitted that it's a down month because Dragalia Lost came out, and
right.
That one was really doing really well in the sales. So, you tell me, everybody, what's going on here. Sticking with the mobile market for now, let's talk Mario Kart Tour. Or I would like to talk about it, but they haven't told us anything about it. I mean, ever since it was announced, was it earlier this year? Was it last year? I can't even remember at this point.
Oh, I got it. That's going to come out. It's going to be launched at the Game Awards. They're going to say, download it now.
Maybe. Maybe. Don't worry, we'll be talking about the Game Awards a little bit later. But, as I was saying, outside of Dragalia Lost, which is technically a Nintendo title, but also technically not, Mario Kart Tour is the game that everyone's been waiting on, and we've heard nothing about it. It wasn't at E3, it's not been in any of the Nintendo Directs, but Nintendo has made a quote-unquote statement about this, saying, "The update on Nintendo titles and what development of Mario Kart Tour is currently progressing towards release this fiscal year as planned. Based on our past experience, the important thing is not an application's launch, nor its initial momentum, but whether consumers are going to continue playing the application. We will release more information about Mario Kart once it is fully prepared to meet that challenge." So basically,
well, maybe it won't be.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is they want to make sure they don't screw up like they did with Super Mario or Mario Kart Run. Super Mario Run.
Right,
too many words.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, is Mario Kart Tour going to be free to play?
We don't know.
Yeah.
We literally know nothing. All we know is the name.
I thought that they had said something about that before, and I wonder how a free to play Mario Kart would work. You know, how do they make their money off of that?
Maybe buying new tracks?
Yeah, see, that would stink. I would hate that. But they could definitely do kart customization stuff, and that would work.
I like
and you
that.
Could get like in-game currency or buy it, and they just make the price stupid high that you just decide, you know,
or buying
it.
That would be like pay to win.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
buying new carts, but like ones that aren't like overpowered.
Yeah, just like new looks.
Yeah,
I don't think you have
or
to
models,
be overpowered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I don't know, but this is kind of bothering me because, you know, Nintendo is doing really well. And this is the other reason why I'm glad that Fire Emblem Heroes is doing so well is because it's showing Nintendo that they did something right. And now they just need to continue that trend.
Right.
But we've heard nothing about Tour.
Yeah, I mean, Tour is going to come out and it's going to be pretty huge. It's just a matter of, as they said, how it continues its momentum after launch. And, you know, if they haven't come up with the best way to do that yet, I'm fine with waiting. It's not like I wake up every day thinking, oh, I need Mario Kart Tour in my hands. Like, that's far from my mind.
I need it! Speaking of which, I just realized that the Game Awards are going to be on a Thursday.
Ooh.
So
yeah,
we, mean,
right,
we,
it's
we
right
should
before Smash.
We should probably, yeah, we should probably delay the podcast just in case, you know?
Well, here's the thing. So, you know, let's pull back the curtain for our audience here. What I think we should do is record on Friday the 7th after we've all played Smash. Because I want to talk Smash so bad, and I'm going to play it the whole time. I think Friday the 7th, we talk Smash.
We'll have to discuss that a little bit because we'll talk about it later, but that is going to be a very bit too busy days for the NEP, that's for sure.
Yes, true.
All right, moving on to Indie Divs. Because they are, again, a key part of the Nintendo Switch line of titles. And they've been filling a large portion of the titles from Nintendo. And at PAX Australia, some of the developers behind certain games talked about just how good they've been doing. One of which was Death Squared, who we've talked about on the game on the podcast before. They go, we have seen great success. I think we said we sold more on Switch in 3 days. Then we sold on all other platforms combined over 6 months. Just for this response from that, so we came in July last year. So that was after release. So yeah, they had more sales in 3 days on Switch than 6 months on the other platforms. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that we're so used to hearing stories about that, like stories like that at this point. Switch is just so perfect for indie games.
Yeah, and then the Gardens Between, which is actually a more recent title, kind of for the Switch.
That game looked pretty good. I didn't pick it up, but it looked interesting.
You said the Gardens Between was released four weeks ago. It was released on Steam, PlayStation, and on the Switch, and 60% of the sales have been on the Switch so far. And then they're Putty Pals. He said that we're kind of similar to the others. We've been out for about 8 months on PC, and then when we shipped it on Switch on the first day, it outsold the previous 8 months on PC.
I wonder how many casual players just go onto the Switch eShop and think, let me see what's new here, and start Maybe. Investing into these games. I would love to hear those numbers from I'd like to hear the perspective of the devs, like who's buying these games. Because to me, I wouldn't think you would see many casual players playing indie games. But at this point, I mean, they must be, right? I mean, there's so many games that come out that flood the market. It's incredible that so many are still able to get in front of consumers like this.
Yeah, I agree. I think something's got to be happening here because there is something about the Switch that is making people say, let's play indie games. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're not saying that at all. It's just it's curious that, you know, Steam, which is supposed to be like the leading platform for indie titles, is getting destroyed by the Switch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, indie games are amazing, first of all. Second of all, it's incredible because Steam really had kind of just become synonymous with indie games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would know. I've worked on a lot of them for the companies I've worked for. But yeah, it's just, you know, something is going on, and it might be the portability aspect, the aspect that you don't need to have it on your computer or on a console, and you can just take it with you. And, you know, most of these indie games, you know, don't need online connection, so as long as you have it downloaded, you can play it anywhere. I honestly think that might be the biggest thing, is that people can literally take these indie games on the go, where before they had to have it on their PC and, you know, thus be sitting there or something else, so.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's totally what it is.
Now, to be clear, the indie devs also said, "Hey, we may be the, you know, the stories you hear, but there are plenty of other indie games that, you know, aren't getting these sales." And that's true, but when you hear a story like this of how, like, you know, it was doing okay on other systems, and then the Switch just ratcheted up the sales to infinity and beyond, that's pretty epic. And I always enjoy hearing these stories. Okay. Now, from a story I love to a story I'm getting really annoyed about. Overwatch on Switch. Okay, so let's rewind. Since the birth of the Switch, and again, its portability aspect, a lot of people have been wondering if Blizzard would get on board, and more importantly, get on board with Overwatch, their most popular title in recent years. And theoretically, Overwatch could totally work on Switch. The only big thing would obviously be the online component and the mobility aspect. So over the past, what are we at, 20 months now? So yeah. Okay, yeah, November. So yeah, 20 months. So over the past 20 months, Blizzard and creative director Jeff Kaplan have been teasing, proclaiming, denying everything except giving us a truly definitive answer. Okay, even the denying part was more of a theoretical thing about why we might not be able to do it. So Jeff Kaplan was asked once again about whether it was coming to Switch. Here's what he said. Our philosophy has always been we want as many players playing Overwatch as possible. We want to reach as many possible Overwatch players as are out there. We will always explore our platform if we think we can make it viable, both the technology and the business relationship. We would love to do it. We don't have anything to announce or any plans with Nintendo or Switch at this time, but, and this is my favorite part, Eurogamer, who was interviewing Kaplan, just shut him down right there and basically said, is there a chance it could come to Switch? And he goes, it's something we're very open-minded about. That's not an answer!
Right. Yeah, Blizzard's been really going through some stuff right now as well. I mean, I saw after BlizzCon, people were very disappointed.
Yeah,
Diablo Immortal. I do wonder if, from a PR perspective, if releasing that on Switch now would just annoy their main customer base so much, you know? Like, I doubt that they would really care. If they thought they could make more money bringing it to Switch, they would. But that's, I think, the last thing that Blizzard fans want right now is for that game to get brought to what they probably perceive as a more casual console, because, you know, Blizzard games mostly PC.
Well, I would agree with that to only a small extent because Overwatch is a title that is on both PC and
It is.
Xbox and PS4.
It is. It is. But
So.
there's something about, I mean, Diablo, when they brought that to the mobile devices, people were really, really angry about that. They really wanted more Diablo news. And having just brought Diablo 3 to Switch, if you're a Blizzard fan, I could see you being upset if it seems like they're pouring their resources into bringing existing games to other consoles instead of working on new, exciting experiences. That being said, I would be all for it if it came to Switch, and I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, I might actually play Overwatch. And I mean, I've been intrigued by Overwatch, but I know that my PC can't handle it.
Yes,
And
me too. I'm the same way. That game looks really fun, and it seems like it's got a lot of personality to it,
oh
which I
yeah.
love. But it's just I don't have the console or the PC power to play it.
Yeah, I just want a definitive answer because last year it was a very logical answer with we probably won't do it because that would make it a fourth different build that we have to try and maintain. And I totally understood that as a former, game developer and QA tester myself. I was like, yeah, I can understand that because you play test for one and it's fine, but then you got to play test for another, and then you got to play test for the other, and then if you add the Switch, you got to play test for another. That's annoying, even for a company as big as Blizzard. So I understood that, but now they're saying, oh, we are very open-minded to the possibility. Just tell us, dang it! You've already blew through the first hurdle. You brought Diablo to the Switch. It's already out now, so you have no
Right,
excuse
and we'd be
saying.
fine with if it didn't come. At this point, it's been such a rumor for so long. I don't think
Yeah.
anybody would cry about it.
Well, I mean, Will would probably cry.
Will would just play it on his PS4.
True. I'm sure there'll be someone who out there who would cry. Just
True.
saying. All right, moving on
People do love
to
to cry.
Metroid Prime 4. No, there's no been real news about it, but Reggie Fils-Aimé was asked about it in an interview, which we're going to be talking about a lot in the next coming minutes. And one of them was about where is Metroid Prime 4? And he said, internally, we have expectations about when Metroid Prime 4 is going to be released. We haven't announced it, but yeah, the game is well into development. That is a key phrase right there, well into a development. But now you might be asking, okay, well, if they were so far away from the release, why did they announce it? Reggie asked, talked about that too. He goes, typically 6 months to a year is when we like to do things, but there are times for strategic reasons that we believe it's important to message that a game is coming. And that's exactly what happened at E3 2017. The Switch was hot, it was doing great in sales, sold a couple million in a few days or so. And they needed to show that they weren't just thinking short term, they were thinking long term. And Metroid Prime 4 was that long term. Same with Pokemon, where it got announced in that same week. Not Let's Go, the other one. But yeah, I understand it. I mean, I'm glad about the update. And who knows, maybe the next Nintendo Direct will give us a teaser. Maybe we'll actually see Samus. Oh my gosh.
I would expect it. I think that it's very possible that it's 2019, not even holiday 2019. It probably will be holiday if it comes out in 2019. But yeah, it's good to hear that it's coming along well. I mean, you figure it's been in development for quite some time now, so you figure that its
At the very
progress is
least,
being made.
I was just gonna say, at the very least 2 years, because the year since its announcement and at least a year before that, so that they could actually show they actually say, hey, we've been working on it. So.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see what they have. We really could use a Nintendo Direct, and I feel like it would be odd to have a Nintendo Direct after Black Friday. If I was Nintendo, I would do one on Tuesday, because you could definitely get people's attention with that. And then Black Friday comes, and they're like, "Okay, now we know what's coming out." And you don't have to even announce new games. I mean, that always helps, but show off Animal Crossing, show off Three Houses, show off even New Super Mario Bros. Deluxe. There are so many titles that have been announced already that we don't really know a whole lot about. We haven't seen a whole lot of footage of, and I think it would help a lot if they put that stuff out there to really drum up excitement for the holidays.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the rumor was we are gonna get one in another one because we had the Smash Bros. One, another one in November. So it's the 15th now. Black Friday is next Tuesday. So I think Tuesday or Wednesday is very probable. And then, if not, I guess they could do one after Black Friday. Just to get people to focus on what's out now, and then to get them even more excited for you know, the year, the next year that'll technically be starting with Smash Brothers. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, we definitely need to, I understand why they did the Metroid Prime reveal, and we all knew ahead of time when they said like the whole it's just in development. So that meant a lot, but now we need at least a little bit of details, you know, where in the timeline. Obviously we know it's in the Prime timeline, but still, you know, give us a look at Samus, give us a teaser. Even like the Bayonetta 3 teaser, we haven't heard anything from Bayonetta outside of that teaser from the Game Awards last year,
Yeah, that's
and
another
we're
one that
okay
they
with
could
that.
definitely showcase.
yeah
Like,
yeah show me a silhouette of, you know, oh, here you go. Show me a battle between Samus and Ridley, and then something takes Ridley out, and now Samus has to fight that thing. And but you don't show it, and so you're like, dude, what is so powerful that it could kill Ridley? Something like that. Give me something. Also in that interview,
it turns
moving.
out that it's Mario who actually survived the encounter with Ridley in the Smash trailer and killed him.
It's-a me, Mario. And then Samus talks. Time to go. Gosh. Okay, yes or no, Samus should talk in Metroid Prime 4.
No.
Okay.
I think no is
No.
the
About new. All right. Another thing I thought was very interesting in the interview with Reggie was that he noted that he kind of wished that Smash Bros. Ultimate came out sooner this year.
I agree with him.
Yeah, because he said basically that it's a tougher release window when it's in early December. And I was very curious about this because I mean, from a how should we say this? From a sales standpoint, I can understand it in part because Black Friday would have been the perfect time to have everyone go nuts about Smash Brothers. But now they're going to be doing that about Pokemon, so that kind of balances out. On the other hand, because we knew ahead of time, like months and months ahead of time, that the game was coming out in December, we're all ready to buy Smash Brothers. You know? So, like, I have my
Right.
money, you're gonna get your money. Hopefully,
Oh
possibly.
yeah,
Oh, yeah, I
definitely.
know. See, you're already prepared. You know, Will's already got his. All the rest of the NAP cr or the Outer Haven crew is gonna get it, is gonna get it. So, since we knew about the release date for months in advance, there's no reason we can't get it. And then there's a little thing called Christmas where if you're that desperate, you say, Mother, I need that game, and she's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 18 days to get that game to give it to you as a Christmas present.
Right.
So I mean, it's really a balancing act. I mean, and remember when they did Xenoblade Chronicles 2 last year, that game sold over 1 million less than a month at the beginning of December, and that was a more niche title. Now we're talking
Yeah,
about
yeah.
Smash Brothers.
I do think that, the Black Friday thing helps a lot, because you want to, that's the best shopping day, and I'm sure that that's what Reggie meant. Maybe he was being a little melodramatic.
A little.
But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of last year outside of Nintendo and Xenoblade, if there was a big game launch in December. I just don't think that
In
December's
December, no.
usually.
It was literally Xenoblade was the end of their year.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I feel, and that was December 1st, that launch, I think.
First or second, something like that. It was in within the first week, like Smash Brothers is. So.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree from the we'd rather it be out for Black Friday, and especially when it's that close. Like Smash just went gold this week, so it's
Yeah.
finished.
Which is good. No
And if it could have
delays.
just been finished like a week earlier, it could have come out that Black Friday week, So I see the frustration from that side of it because it's just so stinking close. But at the end of the day, it's not going to negatively affect the sales of Smash.
I agree. And I think the other thing was is that, and we've noticed numerous times on the podcast, 2018 has been a little droughty at times.
Yeah.
And so if I feel that if they could have, they would have moved like Pokemon to, say, I don't know, September, that had then kept Mario Party in October, Smash Brothers in December, and then maybe a lighter title, kind of like a Xenoblade in December, just to have all the holiday bases covered, kind of like what they did last year with Odyssey and Warriors, and then obviously Xenoblade. But that didn't happen, and we it
Yeah.
kind of negatively affected it. But I think in the end, like you said, you know, it's Smash Brothers, it's the holiday season, Pokemon's gonna sell out like crazy too. And apparently, according to Reggie, both the Pokemon Let's Go and Smash Brothers have had like the best pre-order sales of any Switch game.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you knew Pokemon Let's Go was going to do well, even though a lot of hardcore fans like me weren't as into it. And now that it's gotten good reviews, like I think that game will do incredible things.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things where, we have to be. I mean, I think you're right, where Reg is being a little over dramatic. I think he was saying it in more of a matter of fact way, like, yeah, it could, it could be good to get them out earlier. You never know, but we'll just have to see. But I again, we're all getting it day one, so I will
Yes.
go to every single store in the Tri-County area. I will find my Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely was telling everybody like that. So technically it's 22 days, but really it's just 21, because like 21 days from now, I will be standing outside of GameStop waiting for the midnight launch. And
Yeah.
it's going to be so great. Oh, gosh.
And another thing that Reggie teased in his interview is that he's got some, there's going to be some quote unquote big surprises in 2019, which is always good to hear. And what that is, we don't really know. He did say as part of the interview, he and Nintendo want to create more experiences. We always try to create new content. We want to create the next Splatoon. We want to create the next ARMS. We want to create the next Labo. We're always looking to create experiences that the consumer hasn't even considered. Consumer hasn't consumed. No, consumer hasn't considered. Whatever works.
Yeah.
But that makes me happy, because I think given all we know about 2019 with first party and even possibly third party, having a new IP, in there would be perfect. Kind of
It
like what
would
they
be.
did with 2017 with ARMS.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, they've already got the schedule loaded up with games that we for franchises we love, which I think helps make it easier to kind of release a newer title. A game like Town, for example.
Town, yeah, forgot
Yeah,
about that.
because those kind of smaller and just different styled titles from developers that we know and love, it's easier to be like, oh man, I'm looking forward to that, rather than saying, oh, that's the only thing on the calendar. That's more of a complimentary piece. I do wonder if the rumored Star Fox Grand Prix is kind of what he's talking about there.
Maybe.
I could see that for sure. That would be an experience that nobody would previously have seen coming until we all heard the rumors about it. Now we all see it coming, but that would qualify as a surprise.
I agree. And of course, we all need to know what the heck Retro Studios is doing.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, no, I know I'm not wrong. That's why I'm the host. All right, let's stick with Reggie for a couple more things. One of the things that Nintendo has been being very vocal about recently is the sales of the NES and SNES classics, which of course has been leading to the wondering, I should say, leading to the wondering of when we will hear about the N64 classic system. Well, here's what Reggie had to say on this. We were clear when we did the first two classic series that for us, they were limited time opportunities that were a way for us as a business to bridge from the conclusion of the Wii U as a hardware system to the launch of the Nintendo Switch. That was a very strategic reason we launched the NES Classic System. The Wii U had been fading fast by early 2016, and the Switch didn't launch until early 2017. So while consumers have been anticipating something, we view this as limited time opportunities. We've also now been very clear as the consumer. Oh, hold on. We've also now been very clear as the consumer looks forward to engaging with our classic content, that it's going to be more and more with the subscription service. I would not ever rule something out, but what I can tell you is that it's certainly not in our planning horizon.
I mean, that's a firm no. Like, that's as far as firm no's go. Like, you're never going to hear a firm no. That's a really firm no.
Yeah,
Like, and
I agree.
it's surprising, because now, not to tie everything back into Smash, but the Banjo-Kazooie, what's it called? Trademarks were renewed, and people thought that was probably just for the N64 Classic. If that's truly not planned, like, or imminently coming out, and it doesn't sound like it's imminently coming out. That certainly changes my perspective on that story.
Yeah, it's a complicated thing, because hearing Reggie talk about why they released these consoles because of the failure of the Wii U and the fact that the Switch hadn't come out yet, that does make sense as a business decision, and it worked. They sold millions of copies, and you know, there are still, I think, millions who want them but haven't gotten them yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, that makes sense. So if they are more focused on the Switch in 2019, which is obviously a priority, and then instead of the N64 Classic, I'm not going to fault them for that per se. I will say that, you know, the N64 did have its own, you know, cult following. You know, it only sold like 32 million, which is surprising to me, but, you know, it still sold well. It still has some of the most iconic video games of all time.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of should, but then on the contrary, this was another part of his interview. He talked about how Nintendo is really focusing on expanding the potential of the Nintendo Switch Online service. You know, more games, more experiences, which could mean that instead of making the NES or the N64 Classic, which you'd have to buy, they'll put the classic N64 games on the online service.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could see that for sure being a successful thing, but if I was them, and this is why I still think it's going to happen, I mean, you follow the money. The N64 Classic would sell an incredible amount, just like the other two did, and you could even put the games on the Switch online service anyway. And people just like the way they look. They're cool little consoles, but they really are. They're like Amiibos in a lot of ways that perhaps they're not the most practical way to play the old games, but they look so cool and they give you that nostalgic feeling. People would love it. People would buy it. So I do think it's going to happen eventually.
We'll just have to see. Now, today, like today the time is recording, a very interesting piece of news came out. But not from Nintendo. No. From Sony. Sony is apparently not going to be at E3 2019.
They took last year's loss really rough. They really took last year's horrible showing, and they thought, "Yeah, got to run. Time to run."
Yeah. And for the record, this was not a rumor. This was not a leak. This was an official statement from Sony. They literally said that they're going to be looking at different opportunities to, you know, expand their reach to their fan base, which leads perfectly into Tyler's tweet about
Sony chats.
Yeah.
Where we chat with you for 30 minutes in a video format that we give you all of our updates. It's another genius innovation from Sony, and certainly something that's never been seen before.
No. At least not directly to you.
Yeah, no, this is different. That's directly to you. This is like more of a casual chat, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's yeah. Different.
Needless to say, the internet's kind of blowing up about this, and like not in the good way, because Sony, for the last 20-some-odd years, has been a key part of E3, ever since they, you know, were getting ready for the PS1 to release. And now they're leaving it, which, on one hand, is already a big blow to E3, who has, you know, kind of been struggling as a conference and trying to stay relevant. But it's still E3. We still all talk about it with awe and reverence. And now here's Sony saying, yeah, we don't need it. That's kind of stupid.
It's interesting. I mean, the most crazy part to me is that they said they are not going to have a conference around that time. Like, it's not like they're going to do a Nintendo Direct and have their games there. Maybe they'll have their games there. I don't know if that's ruled out yet, but they will not be having any news to share around E3, which is fascinating because they could just do, as I joked on Twitter, they could just follow Nintendo's footsteps and do their own event or something like that. But no, they're just not doing anything around that time. To me, this really means that they have nothing, because PS5 comes out in 2020 and they're saving up for that, and they're saving money because it's got to be expensive to put on that big show. I'm sure that it costs a pretty penny to get on the stage. So I think that this is very highly indicative of PS5 and that they will be back in 2020, unless they do come up with another format like a Nintendo Direct that they prefer.
Okay, my thoughts on this are thus. Yes, last year's show was a disaster for them. Like, it was not... I mean, I know some people liked it for whatever reason, but, you know, they tried to confine the people. They should have stuck with... You know, they had these long... What was like the four games being showed for like 20 minutes apiece, and then
yes,
they took a break, and, you know, don't do that. go back to the classic format. You have ways to spice it up. Use your what were they called? Brains. There we go. And hey, if you wanted to follow Nintendo's example, that's okay. Just do a digital conference. It works for Nintendo. Okay, and then you have, I mean, there's, we're actually, I'm actually not sure if they're actually going to be on the show floor. I think they said they weren't. So that means no press conference, no showing off their games at fundamentally one of the most important times at, right now because of the gap that is going to be formed because of the games are going to be coming out between now and then. I mean, yes, we still got Ghost of Tsushima. We still got Death Stranding, which is apparently going to be getting a new shot at the Game Awards. Not surprising.
We have all the games that are coming out that they talked about at E3 that still haven't come out.
Kingdom Hearts 3 and everything. So they got games. It's just they're deciding that whatever they got next just isn't worth a show. I don't know. Or maybe they're not ready to unveil the PS5. I don't know. And it's just, it boggles my mind because any publicity is good publicity. For all the crap that they got about how, they did the conference, the fact was they still had games to show. They had plenty of good games, both ones that were coming out in 2018 and ones that were coming out in early 2019, like Kingdom Hearts, Days Gone, all of them. They showed it. They were there. Use that. And it's so help me, if they do these Sony side chats or whatever, I am going to be ticked because they're once again copying Nintendo, and that has not always worked out for them.
No, it hasn't.
Sony
I,
motion control, anyone?
yeah,
Io.
yeah, yeah. That was classic. The good old move.
Oh, that was it, the move. That was it. Yeah, that was
Yeah,
terrible.
not great.
Yeah. Oh, hey, we're going to take a Wiimote and then we're going to put a light bulb on it. And then they tried to make put gave it to Kevin Butler to try and make it look cool, and he failed so badly.
It's gonna be E3 is always an exciting time for me. I love it. Nintendo confirmed that they will be there. It'll be interesting without Sony though. I mean, Sony has always been, at least recently, the show that everybody looks forward to. Now, I said Nintendo won each of the past two E3s, and I stand by that. But
2017 especially, they
yeah,
just killed it.
2017 especially was just an undeniable victory. But the 2016, 2015, 2014, I mean, all of those years, they were just the Sony years because Microsoft and Nintendo both really didn't have anything great to show. I mean, Nintendo had Breath of the Wild. That was their only thing the whole year or the whole show, which was fine. It was a really fun show. But
One game of the year or game of the show, whatever.
But Sony has been such a staple there that this definitely is shocking and will change a lot about it. I mean, I just think about all like the places like the Outer Haven, people that cover E3, and that's where they get a lot of their money, a lot of their clicks. That's not going to be there. I wonder how E3 will feel this year. It will be different.
So it's going to be it's going to be something for sure. And I, you know what? Given how the world works, I will not be surprised if Sony pulls a 180. I don't know. It's possible. And for those wondering why we're bringing this up, it's because not long after Sony made their thoughts clear, Reggie made an official statement stating that they will be at E3 2019, saying E3 is an outstanding opportunity for us to share new games and experiences with fans and business partners from across the globe. Every year, we discuss what will be the best way to take advantage of the next E3 show in order to bring smiles to people's faces. You see that, Sony? Nintendo is interested in making people happy!
No, he's right though. I mean, E3 is definitely special. It's been special for a long time. It is shocking that because even with them switching and getting rid of the press conference, Nintendo still has a huge presence there, and Microsoft, and Bethesda, and all the companies that get up there. I mean, that's where they make their hay. I feel that's where they make their hay. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Sony has better information, and they know the consumers better than we do. But as a consumer, I look forward to seeing what they have at E3, and it's disappointing they're not going to be there.
But again, things could change. Just have to see. Let's hope that they change their mind. And if they don't, Nintendo wins E3 2019 by default. I see no problems with this. So, You want to skip the Smash Brothers news? I mean, we've talked about Smash Brothers a lot. I mean,
no, I don't want to skip the Smash Brothers news.
Fine. So, Sakurai has been doing this weekly series for Famitsu, detailing all of the new things that are coming for Smash. And so, the latest one is about the Nintendo Direct that we had recently, the final Nintendo Direct before the launch. And he talked about Ken and how, you know, he wanted to make sure that while he was an Echo fighter, he was different enough from Ryu, which is why he has certain different moves. And they made sure that his Guren Seppuyaku move looked a little bit different. For Incineroar, okay, this one's fascinating, actually.
Yes.
Okay, for Incineroar, he goes, when planning began around December of 2015, which already shows you how long he's been working on this, I had resolved that I had to have all kinds of fighters in the game. Generally, though, I can't really add a character from a game that hasn't come out yet to the roster, the only exception being Korin, but the game was basically done by then. So I left one character frame open for Pokemon, and after Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon came out, I took another look at it. That resulted in Incineroar being chosen. I wanted to try making a pro wrestler type character at least once. So, yeah, that's how Incineroar got in the game. And it actually makes a lot of sense.
It does. It was really cool. I mean, it makes me like that character even more, that Sakurai really wanted to have a pro wrestler character in the game. And I believe him, because we've never had a character that's like him. I mean, there's been characters in Smash that really they want to grab you, like Bowser in Smash 4. He's kind of a grappler, but he's not a pure grappler. Incineroar is a pure grappler. He wants to get up close and personal. He wants to throw you. He's got all sorts of ways to throw you. He's got some command grabs. He is a grappler. And it's cool that Sakurai has always wanted to make that character, and Incineroar is a perfect fit for it.
But there's also the way he phrased it, it honestly makes me wonder, and I can't believe I forgot about this last week when we were doing our DLC lists. It makes me wonder if Rex and Pyra now have a much better chance of getting in as DLC. Because now there's a big movement behind them being, there's been a year since their development, or since their release, and Sakurai can see, and he'd even noted in that in the direct that even though Rex and Pyra couldn't be in the game as of now, could be coming in as DLC.
It could be. I mean, I don't think that Xenoblade is a series that you say, I'm going to save a spot for Xenoblade.
Well, not save a spot, but I mean... Yeah,
well, that's what he said he did for Pokemon. He said, I took a spot, yeah. And I said...
Well, that was different because he knew... He had Pokemon to know as a series that was going to need to be good. Like, there was going to be that one Pokemon, like a Lucario, like a Greninja, where they're like, there's going to be that one Pokemon, and that's when it was with Incineroar. Because he could have easily looked at Pokemon and gone, yeah, there's no one here I wanted. And maybe they would put in Dixie Kong. I'm so sorry.
I know. How dare you?
But anyway, but it makes me even more hopeful. And it also should be noted that Reggie, in one of his interviews, noted that he doesn't know who the characters are. He apparently has not talked with Sakurai about this.
Really?
So he does not know, and he reiterates that the Luigi pull, Waluigi pull, is not taking into effect with these DLC characters.
The best thing Sakurai said about, or not Sakurai, Reggie said about Smash recently is that he's a Ridley main,
yes.
And his goal is to be, like, to play so much Ridley that when the game launches, he will be the best Ridley for about 2 minutes. And then people will inevitably figure out Ridley better than he does, and he won't be the best anymore. But he said, I want to be the best Ridley player just for one moment in time.
Yep. I will root for you, Reggie. I will root for you, Reginator.
Yeah, no, he's going to do it. I mean, the game's going to launch. Nobody's going to have played Ridley. He's going to be the best. And then a good player is going to pick up Ridley and instantly be better than him. But
it's a dream. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to Sakurai, another thing I want to definitely mention is about the amiibo. He goes, we will be releasing amiibo for all the fighters that didn't appear in the last entry of the series. However, producing them takes a considerable amount of time. It takes about a year to produce them from the prototype. As such, I think we have to keep you waiting until they are ready to be released. Apologies, and thank you for your patience. Sometimes people don't realize how long these things take. I mean, they're especially after the first wave of amiibos weren't exactly the best. You know, like, remember, like, plain-faced Marth and all that?
Yeah, Marth had a weird-looking... Some Marths were good, some Marths were bad. They were wildly inconsistent.
Yeah, and so they're trying to make sure that doesn't happen again, which we have seen with the... like the Smash Bros. 4 DLC amiibo, especially with Bayonetta and Cloud and all of them. So I have no doubt that they're going to make sure that all these, like, you know, Ridley, the Inklings, and King Carol, and the Ice Climbers, that they all look as good as possible. And that takes time. So I understand that. Which also is a great segue into one of the more controversial elements of the last Nintendo Direct, which was the trophy removals. You know, a lot of people were sad that we weren't going to get the trophies. And Sakurai reveals, I actually removed those pretty early on because he wanted to do something a little bit better. And he notes, making the trophies took quite a bit more effort than people think. And I totally get that, because especially in the last game where you could actually like zoom in on the trophies and look at every single detail, that means that someone had to make that trophy and make sure that every single detail was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love trophies, though. I got to say, I will miss trophies. I love reading them. I love looking at them. But in terms, like, the Spirits mode is a good way to kind of compromise.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure they'll still, like, you know, like a trophy, like when you get the Spirits, you'll get to find out more about them. So that way, you know, like, who the heck is Sigma, you know?
So, right.
Well, clearly Sigma is the villain of the Mega Man X series. And then you like shoot the fanboy. to dream. All right. Last one. And this one I want to talk about because of contrast. The Game Awards have officially revealed all of their nominees for all of their categories. And unlike last year, Nintendo does not have a title in the Game of the Year category. If you recall, Mario and Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild were the two leading contenders and basically took on like half the awards, pretty much. But not this year. There's no Nintendo titles there, which of course means that Mario Tennis Aces didn't get nominated for Game of the Year. I'm so sorry, Tyler.
I know. I can't believe it.
Yeah. I know. But or Kirby Star Allies, game was so cute. No, but that's okay. There was honestly, all the nominees were really, really good. But Tyler, I don't know if you saw, your game Celeste was nominated.
Yes, I did, and it should win. It won't win.
It won't win.
Red Dead Redemption 2. But Celeste is, I'm telling you, Celeste is the best platformer ever made by far. It's so great. It deserves to win.
I understand. I mean, I was surprised that it made it there, because sometimes, like last year, I'm pretty sure they didn't do an indie game. I can't remember. It's been a while. But then again, they also put PUBG in there, and look how that turned out.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Fortnite quickly surpassed it. That tells you
indeed.
Something.
Indeed. So, but one thing I did want to note is that a certain Nintendo exclusive title was nominated for three different categories, and that game was Octopath Traveler.
Yosh.
Yes, it got nominated for Best RPG, which it won't win, but it should. It got nominated for Best Art Direction, which it won't win, and I'm probably okay with that one. And then Best Original Music / Score, which it could win. Never know. Music is tricky. But I'm glad that someone clearly appreciated it enough to put it into these best categories.
No, yeah, me too. I'm actually topping on now to go check out some of the nominee or some of the other nominees, because I always like to throw in my two cents and vote on these.
Exactly what your opinion is worth.
Right. It's not even that. It's less than that. As a matter of
fact, I will tell you one thing I'm furious about is that the nominees for Best Mobile Game, Heroes is not on the list.
Because it came out in 2017.
But some of the games are from the past. And so I don't understand that.
Well, Heroes doesn't deserve it. I'm going to be honest. Heroes does not deserve to be on the best mobile games list because it's not the best mobile game.
Whatever. Whatever.
It's fun for us Fire Emblem diehard, but there is not a whole lot there to keep you coming back.
Hater.
Hey, I am not a hater. I'm just a realist. I love the game. I'm the opposite of a hater. Uh-huh. I play the game all the time. But it's also not a good game. And yet I play it all the time because I love Fire Emblem and I'm addicted to it. It's a problem. Help me.
Help me, Rhonda. Help me get out Fire Emblem. No, that's fine. No, I'm actually very curious. I'm torn about the Game Awards because on one hand, because Breath of the Wild and Odyssey-esque games aren't there to represent Nintendo the Game of the Year, I don't feel compelled to watch. I mean, even my love of Octopath Traveler, which was, again, rather significant, isn't enough to get me to watch. But Jeff Keighley, the host, has been teasing, major
Yes.
announcements.
I
And
know,
so.
that's why I'm with you. I never watch the Game Awards, but this year I'm gonna watch them because I want to see a Smash Bros. Character announced, and I don't want to
Maybe.
miss that.
Yeah, or the reveal of Mario Kart Tour, or I glad I got to watch because of the Bayonetta teaser. So that was
Right.
good. That was good that Reggie showing up, Joff, and all that. So I don't know. I probably will watch, especially if we don't do the podcast that night because we're waiting for all the news to come out and all that. But it's at times the Game Awards really suck.
Yeah,
It's
oh,
like
they do.
it's not even funny at times how badly they suck. I mean, it's too overdrawn. There's one category on there that is literally their favorite moment from the Game Awards 2017.
It's so dumb.
That is literally self-referential bullcrap.
That's terrible.
I mean, we all know what's gonna win. It's gonna be the A Way Out guy saying "F the Oscars."
Yeah.
I mean, come on,
Yeah, oh, guaranteed.
guaranteed. So, whatever. But I'm at least happy that Octopath Traveler got appreciated for what it did. And if it does win Best RPG, oh, what a coup that would be. But actually, are you on the page right now?
I am.
Okay, look up Best RPG and tell me what were the other nominees. I can only think
I
of
am
like one.
scrolling down. I've got to go for Celeste for best score. Celeste has a. Oh, but Octopath also nominated for best score.
I said that.
Yeah, I know, but I got to go for Celeste anyway. RP. This is really not conveniently made here.
Just do Control F and type RPG.
Good idea. I don't know why I didn't think of that right away.
And I.
Nothing coming out, but role play game will be. Yeah. Dragon Age or Dragon Quest IX: Echoes of an Elusive Age.
That's Dragon Quest XI.
Dragon Quest XI. Yes, you're right. I totally transposed that in my head. Monster Hunter World.
Oh, that's it. That's gonna win.
Ni No Kuni 2: Revenant Kingdom, Octopath, and Pillars of Eternity 2: Deadfire.
Yeah, it's gonna be Monster Hunter World.
Probably,
Probably.
no, not if I have anything to say about it. I just voted for Octopath.
Word. All right, so yeah, there you go. If you're listening to this, vote for Octopath Traveler's best RPG. It's your Nintendo duty to. If we did have like that big of an influence, dear gosh, that would be awesome. Clean sleep for Octopath Traveler.
Occupy a traveler on the back of the NEP bump.
Yeah. I was like, we got a massive surge, and it's all thanks to this Nintendo podcast. It's weird, but whatever.
I gotta go for Yuri Lowenthal as Spider-Man for best vocal performance. Shout out to Prince Marth.
Wait, that's Marth?
He is.
Where?
Marth is Yuri Lowenthal, and he also plays Spider-Man.
It's not what I asked. I was like, where does Yuri play Marth? Like in Heroes?
In Heroes, in Smash,
Oh wow.
yeah.
I did not know that. Okay, then yeah, I will in honor of Prince Marth, I will go and vote for him as best voice talent or voice actor or whatever.
Yes.
So, there you go. So, and again, the Game Awards are on December 6th, so get your votes in for Octopath Traveler. Everything else is, kind of whatever. All right, now usually this would be a very exciting time for us at NEP because we have a Splatfest coming up. But Will's not here, and he's actually opposed to where me and Tyler are. But who
But who
cares?
cares?
We're gonna revel in our own glory anyway. So it's time to settle it in Splat. So, this is one of the more quaint Splatfest topics, a tasty Splatfest topic, I suppose. Ladies and gentlemen, it is salsa versus guacamole. Because why the heck not? I almost wanted them to do, salsa versus nacho cheese dip or cheddar dip or just cheese dip in general. But
Yeah, I mean, I would have probably gone
guacamole?
with cheese dip at that point.
Yeah, I would have told what so would I. But I was like, no, it's guacamole. I mean, ugh. All right,
Yeah.
well, Tyler, I'll start with you. Tell us why you love salsa.
So I really, me and salsa, we have a strange history together because I always hated salsa. I also always hated guacamole, but I never liked salsa up until like a year ago where there's this Mexican restaurant across the street from my apartment, like literally right across the street. And they have the world's most delicious salsa, like ever. It is so good. And I don't know what about this salsa, like I don't know what makes it so delicious, because I still don't really love salsa. Like a chunky salsa is gross. I'd rather just eat the chip plain than have a chunky salsa. But this is like the most smooth and delicious salsa I have ever had. And I just, it opened my mind to the fact that maybe not all things with tomatoes as a base are bad. You know, because tomatoes generally suck, and like I would probably have voted for guacamole just on the premise that I hate tomatoes so much that the avocado base would defeat the tomato base thing, even though I don't even like avocados. And yet, the salsa at Tasco, that's the place, it's called Tasco. If you're ever in Huntersville, North Carolina, I highly recommend you check out Tasco. It changed my view of an entire vegetable, you know? I still hate tomatoes. I'm not going to lie to you and say I would ever eat a tomato. But salsa is actually capable of being good. Now, again, chunky salsa is gross. But you get that smooth salsa with a little kick to it. And that's you've hit the sweet spot.
Yeah, I totally get that. Again, with all things, not unlike cheeses, you know, you have to find your preferred salsa brand. Okay, like mine is most always Tostitos, because that is the place to get the chips, that is the place to get the salsa, but there are a few other ones that I can't think of the brand names ironically right now because I haven't had it in a while. But when you think of sports games, think of like the big playoff football games when you get the guys together and you know you get the chips and you get the dip, you make sure you have the cheese dip and then you make sure you have the salsa.
Right.
And so, like, when I was in college and I had this kind of slush fund of sorts to get things, I made sure that whenever there was a big game, I had chips, I had salsa, I had cheese dip. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what all is in guacamole. I really don't care. It's green, it's gross, and it's not
yes.
salsa.
Yes, good point. Great point. It's like an avocado mixed with other bad stuff. And you know what? The worst thing about guacamole, the absolute worst thing, and I would be so remiss if I didn't mention this, it's the fact that people love to say it. You know these people, they go, oh, I love guac. And they just, when they say guac, like they feel really just like like they're so cool because they say guac. And also it smells bad. Another point about guacamole, it smells really bad. If you eat it, your breath stinks, and stay away from me. I had to work next to somebody when I was an editor for my newspaper, and she always brought in guacamole, and she was a really pretty girl, but she always smelled like guacamole, and suddenly was just, it just defeated everything else she had going for her, you know? Guacamole is just absolutely gross, and yet somehow people love it. I can't understand.
I think I just learned something very important from about you. Ladies, if you're interested in Tyler, make sure you do not eat guacamole.
That's right. That's right. That's an
instant deal breaker.
It really is. Like, I mean, at least go like immediate breath mint. Don't eat it next to me. Yeah, I'm not going to question your diet. You know, you eat what you want to eat.
There you
all
go.
All you. But don't smell like it. It's just terrible. And I had to sit next to this girl for like 4 hours, and it was just every Tuesday and Thursday. It was not great. It was rough.
Such integrity, Tyler.
Yeah.
Such integrity. Yeah. Dignity. Always dignity.
Yes.
You didn't get that reference, did you?
No, but I agreed with it.
Fine. I feel so old. Anyway, but again, now don't get me wrong. If you like guacamole, good for you. Again, Will was supposed to be team guacamole, but he's caught in a snowstorm, which might, I think, be a sign from God, because not only can he not talk about guacamole in this debate, he's going to be at Anime NYC this weekend, and so he can't do Splatfest, which basically all but guarantees Salsa's going to win.
That's right.
It's a sign from God.
It is.
So, but, and again, you know, It's all about taste. And when it comes to me, I know I have had guacamole in the past, and I know I've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of salsa in the past. And so it's not really a contest. Salsa all the way. I want salsa. Now, some of it, there are times I don't want spicy salsa, and that's fine, because you have mild, You have spicy, you have chunky, you have thinned out, you got different brands that you can get. There's a salsa for everyone. There's not a lot of variety in guacamole.
Yeah, I agree. Did you mention how annoying it is when people say guac? Because
I hate that so much.
Yeah. I hate that. That makes me want to strangle someone. It really, I just hate that. And I'm very angry just thinking about it.
Guac.
Yeah. If you ever want to just annoy me, that's just say it like that. Just be like, oh, I had some chips and guac.
I was doing the Pac-Man with my hand, and I realized you can't actually see it.
No, I was picturing it, to be honest.
Oh, there you go. Quack, quack, quack. Oh, gosh. All right, I'm going to try and channel the spirit of Will so that he can give his rebuttal about guacamole. Okay. Oh, I'm trying to find him. Okay, he's still... Wow, he's still in Brooklyn. Ugh. Feel bad for him.
Yikes.
Oh, wait. Okay, here he comes. Nyeh? Okay, guys. Listen to me here. Okay, you guys are being so wrong about this. Okay. Guacamole. I prefer to call it guac, okay? Okay, Santana. Guac
is perfect.
Guac is like the perfect thing, okay? It's green. And not even like grass green, but pure green. I just realized I didn't have a sound cue queued up on my phone so I could blast you with the holiness that is guacamole. Okay. I mean, it reminds me of this favorite anime that I love to watch and then tweet about inappropriately on Twitter. Huh?
And okay, now the sound effects were perfect. And I'm also voting for it because Marina's voting for it. And that's the secret reason why, but I'm not going to tell you that because I know that you'll yell at me.
Because as we all know, Marina is life. So Tyler, you and Pearl can go choke on your salsa. Marina and the holy band of guacamole warriors. I'm sorry, the guac warriors. We're going to dominate this splat fest.
Oh, that was perfect. Yep.
Thank you.
And that was Will. Thank you, Will.
I feel so much better now. I feel dirty now. I don't know why. Probably watched too much anime.
Yeah, no, it's good of Will to stop by, though.
Thank you, Will. We appreciate your commentary.
Good insert of Nani in there, too. That was
oh, when you listen to him talk for, like, 107 episodes, you pick up everything, you know?
You do.
Like, Nani? And then, or, like, he'll go really quiet like that, you know? No, I know how to do a good Will impression. You'd be a little more, like, bombastic and loud and
yes.
Mario.
Yes. Right. You would really have to emphasize the Mario part.
Mario.
Too. Yeah.
Out of Sonic. Cyanic. Oh, gosh. But the only thing I'm curious about with this Splatfest, which I will totally be able to play because I got plenty of time. I have nothing going on this weekend. I'm so happy. I'm curious about the Shifty Station stage. That's like a highlight for me with the Splatfest. I always want to see what they do with the Shifty Station. And I don't like it when it's kind of a weak stage, but when it works, it's just like, yeah, give me that stage. I love it.
Yeah, no, I love Shifty Station, and I think it's a cool thing. For a while, I wish that they had kept those in the regular rotation, but I think it's cool that they make it like a Splatfest exclusive thing. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah, and it gives them a lot of time to, you know, make them. Now, ironically, after the Splatfest are all done, what I would love for them to do is to make that one of the add a stage to like the rotation and make it Shifty Station, and then they just rotate every single one of them, like, every 2 hours. So, like, a new version of the Shifty Station every 2 hours, and they just go down the line. Because by the end, that'll be, like, what, 18 versions of Shifty Station?
Yeah.
So, that'd be cool.
That'd be great. I'd love that.
So, I look forward to Salsa Domination. Yeah. Oh, and here's the other thing. When you think of salsa, you think of food. But you also think of the dance, which is an awesome, awesome, very high-intensity dance. What other thing does guacamole have? Oh, I'll tell you, it's got guacamole. That's it.
Yes, true.
That's a terrible pun on the name.
True.
Oh, gosh. So. Oh, you guys. Shut up, Will. I haven't said that all podcast. I feel so good. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, I have a job. Hey,
forgot again?
which
Seriously?
character would you like to see in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for Nintendo Switch? 38% said Banjo-Kazooie, 46% said Paper Mario, and 16% said Goku.
Wow, I'm actually kind of surprised that Goku was that low.
Yeah, me too. I think that there was a big push for Goku like a few months back, and then people kind of just were like, you know what, maybe not. And
how
like
many
if
votes
he
did
came
we get?
out, people would be really excited, but I just think people don't expect him, or those other two are possible.
How many votes did we have in that poll?
We had 13 votes.
For more? And, again, Twitter polls are so weird because we had that one where it was like 91 in less than 24 hours, and then we do this one, which you think would get a lot, and we got like 13 votes.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, right.
All right, so I don't know. Tyler, why don't you pick a poll topic for tonight?
Yeah, sure. Let me think here. Well, I want to see. I'm curious if people think that Sony showing up at E3 is a good or bad idea. But I mean, I guess it's not Nintendo related, but that's where my head's at right now.
I kind of like that actually. So why? Let's make fun of Sony.
Yeah.
So here you go. Is the Sony leaving E3 a good thing for Nintendo?
Yes, I agree.
There you go. So and if there's any no in there, you're clearly not thinking straight. So there you go. That'll be our poll question. And so be sure to let us know your thoughts and feelings on that. And of course, let us know about what you think about the dub tracks for the Smash Brothers trailer. What you think about Overwatch coming to Switch. What you think about the tentative releases of Mario Kart Tour and Metroid Prime 4. What do you think Nintendo has planned for 2019? Are you sad that there may not be an N64 Classic? And of course, what do you think about the Game Awards? Be sure to vote for Octopath Traveler. So, for Tellius Tyler, in the spirit of Wario Will, Annie? I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.